Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm still Judy Nathan.
And I'm newly minted Robert Winters, born newly yesterday.
Yes. Oh, I was born today. I meant this.
Well, that's right. Happy birthday, Judy. Happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you. I know. And I'm doing this show as a gift to myself, right? No. life has to go on. And I just don't. I bought a nice little piece of cake for myself. I didn't want to do anything with
I actually find public service to be one of the things I enjoy doing most on significant things like birthdays, because it makes me feel good. You know, it makes me feel good.
Well, are we doing public service? I guess we are.
I like to think that that's fundamentally what we're trying to do.
Okay.
Yeah. we're doing a public disservice. Yeah, about that. Yeah. Yeah. So in the last half hour, we talked about things such as the mayoral election and, you know, a few things that sort of unfinished business of the last term. But I think right now it is wise and desirable for people to think about the future. And to wonder what's coming next. We've got two terms. We've got two new city councilors joining the seven incumbents. And there are some issues that were energized in the last council term, which will carry over. And presumably there will be some new things to come. You know, I mean, so I hope we're not just going to basically do a complete replay of like arguing about bike lanes and missing middles.
I don't know.
Police related matters, but some of these things are substantial and I really can't punt on them. Now, one of them in particular, which grew out of grew primarily out of summer of 2020,
with the whole George Floyd
phenomenon that happened across the country, whether it was part of the defund the police, abolish the police, reform the police, doesn't much matter. Really, it's like people wanted to say, well, can we do things differently? You know, and some people
the Republicans and everyone that voted for Mr. You know, who just heard it as
right.
They want to get rid of the police.
Yeah, but locally, you know, the way we handled it, I mean, there were some elected city councilors, at least one of whom is still here, were pretty much solidly of the defund state of mind. There was a task force on the future of public safety appointed by the city manager, which came up with some ideas and recommendations.
Right. Which were presented and definitely like put down by a lot of people.
Right, because there's a separate movement happening by other parties who basically fundamentally, if I may be so bold as to say, fundamentally don't believe in police. You know, if you actually read what they initially were writing, it was our alternative methods of policing. And
but that's happening across the country too.
And it's
from communities that have been hurt by the police. You've got to put that on the table.
Right. But what's happened in places like San Francisco also is that they moved in one direction and they kind of drew back. And even in Minnesota, you know, where a lot of this stuff began, you know, they say we're going to do this.
Question. And then they pulled back. Yeah, I know.
It's not at all clear what reform, if that's a usable word here, is really going to grow out of all of this. And I think in every community, it'd be a little bit different.
Yeah, and people are trying different things that are being, because people did see a need for a change, and there's a reckoning of sorts.
My conversations with people in the Cambridge Police Department, I think I can say without hesitation that most of the people in the Cambridge Police Department feel that there are some changes that would be good for them too.
They don't want to have to go out and deal with mental health issues.
No, I mean, they'll do it because it's a matter of responsibility.
They don't want people harmed. 911, right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and they're not eager to jettison responsibilities that might result in greater harm. So, so the question is, how do you do this in a way that's, makes best use of the police department as well as best use of other parties as well? And there doesn't seem to be any great unanimity of opinion here. At least I certainly don't see it that way. But one thing I think, so there was one proposal, this alternate proposal was used the acronym HEART, H-E-A-R-T, which stands
holistic
for
emergency something.
Something alternative response yeah. team or something like that. And that's still being, I believe the city manager, correct me if I'm wrong, came back and said, well, here's a plan we want to do cooperatively with emergency, the communications people.
It was November 17th that the city proposed their response to the HART proposal. And that was their response. And then last in December, that's when HART presented their stuff. So
Right. And there was a fair amount of political, I mean, you know, because I get all the updates that people saying come out and, you know, speak in public comment and stop support the HART proposal.
Against the city's proposal.
It's true. You know, and
basically
so
the city doesn't want to use the dispatch model that HART proposed, which they wanted to completely take over. And he said, we're not going to do that. It's going to go through our police, fire, you know. So that's part of it. The city wants to establish a Department of Community and Alternative Public Safety Response, something.
I mean, there are many communities.
The point is,
many communities have even renamed the police. They call it the Community Safety Department of the Community
that's
Safety
true.
Division.
And so, many, right. It's a
that, I personally, yeah. I. To me, that's like six of one, half a dozen of the other. Yeah. It's basically, what do they do? It's not so much what do you want to call them, you know?
Okay.
You know, I'm personally, I mean, I'll be very clear. I tend to lean more toward the city proposal only because I think it's a much more cooperative, respectful way of interacting with the police who, at least in Cambridge context, generally mean well.
And the funding would be $3 million for the city's proposal for their own alternative thing, and then out of that $1 to $1.5 million would be for contracted services, for example the Black Response, or I mean I guess the Black I don't so in other words that's how they see it, versus it would be a contracted service.
All right, so there's something needs to be pointed out here, which is this.
Yeah,
is that,
and that's what if, you pointed if there this are, out to me, which I didn't realize.
If there are good ideas, and I think there are some good ideas coming from a lot of people about different ways to think about this stuff.
Right.
The truth of the matter is that, you know, under state law and under common sense, you know, if a managed city is going to contract the services, they should go out to bid. Yeah. And just because an organization says we mean well, even though
we've got this proposal that we're giving to you,
and we have no track record at all,
right?
Then to me, it would be irresponsible, not if not illegal, for the city. You know, you have to be a qualified bidder when a city. Yeah. So if there are some good ideas that say we're going to do some alternative emergency response that will involve a team of people, including people who are trained in psychological assistance, and you name it, whatever the good ideas bring, they have to be qualified. They really have to be qualified. You don't hire people based on political connections, good intentions, or anything like that. I mean, you're asking them to do a very important service, and they have to.
Well, they're really also asking to basically give money to an organization that then will use that money to train people to be those things in the future. I mean, you can't.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Then if there's $1.5 million or basically if I remember how the municipal procurement laws, chapter 30B, Massachusetts general laws, what they have to say about that. If the total cost is over, it used to be something like $10,000. You actually have to put it out to bid, and there's a pro process for opening the bids, you know, based on, they have to be blind first. So you basically judge based on qualifications. You don't even look at the cost. And then, there's a whole way in which this is done. And it's meant to make sure that you're not just hiring people who know somebody who's related to somebody or who happens to be part of your political constituency or anything like that. You know, this is serious stuff. And I think it has to be done seriously. Yeah. And And if this all just devolved into some kind of a, you know, slapping of, you know, placating politically motivated people, you know, then just, to me, I will be very disappointed in the city manager if that.
Well, I think your point though about the contract thing is when this comes up, and also, you know, I'm looking, you know, everyone talked about the Cahoots program and all that, and the point is they contracted years ago, 30 years ago, with the Wiper Clinic, which had been in operation since 1969. So they were a reputable company. And yes, they have, you know, we're talking about 30 years experience. It's not a call response model. They were very clear to point that out. However, operate with a central dispatch. In fact, they covered the cities of Eugene and Springfield, which is about over 200,000 people. So let's not compare this city with places like Oakland, or, you know, we are different. Do we really need, you know, I think we do need a program that can maybe deal with people that don't feel they're getting served. But that's a different thing than immediate response and dispatch and all that.
I'll just speak very frankly about this. I do feel that the authors of the HART proposal have an agenda that's a bit on the hidden side. Yeah. Which is really that they have an issue with police, period. Yeah. More so than, I think that trumps their desire even to get best outcomes. You know, so if your whole goal in putting up an alternate response mechanism here
is just to keep the police out of it,
whether that's helpful or not, then I think you're starting from a bad place.
Yeah.
You know, and it will not necessarily lead to a good end, you know. Now, this is why I think I like, you know, city manager form of government normally is that a city manager form of government would actually, you know, reason this out and like as good working professionals come up with the best plans, you know, regardless of the politics, regardless of the movements, regardless of all of the, you know, regardless of many things, you know, and I don't know that that's what I've been seeing. What I've been seeing here is political pressure.
And the other thing is I saw, you know, all the organizations that signed on supporting the HART proposal, they're all well-meaning, the YWCA, I mean, Walter Fuller. But I was looking, well, where are the clinics? Where are the clinicians? Where are the people that maybe are substance abuse, experts? Where are those people? Where are you going to draw? I mean, it's one thing to deal with service organizations, but what about people who are going to assess and analyze and triage? Where are they? I mean, we're going to train all those people? Who's going to train those people? I mean, that's the difference. Should exist.
Yeah.
But I think they need to prove themselves, and they want the city to do this for them. They want the city to fund it all, but leave them alone.
I'm going to throw in one other observation.
They want coordination, but they don't, you know, I don't
you
know.
You know, and again, you know, not that I want to get people hopelessly irritated by saying this, but all of the claims that this HART proposal was community driven, that it was consulted all sorts of people, whatever.
You know, I'm sorry.
That's a fiction.
I didn't even know about it. And I know people,
most people didn't know about it.
To the community,
you know?
But
and you can claim.
And they still don't know about it.
Yeah. Just because you say you're this, that, and the other thing doesn't mean it is, you know? So this to me is like the Potemkin village. It's sort of the make-believe thing that isn't really real. But the politics is so thick in this.
It's the politically correct, and we can't go against. We can't say something against because then we're saying it. You don't have rights, and you're less than us. That's not the issue here. I mean, I just think it has to be approached in a more. We're trying.
I
just don't trust it. I mean, I just don't trust.
Before budget, because I don't know whether this is the plan is to have an appropriation request done before the regular budget cycle. Or whether this is going to appear as part of the budget come April into May, right? I don't know. I don't really know how they're planning to do this. But honestly, I think we are overdue for a bit of a roundtable discussion where we actually get people with emergency response, Cambridge right. Police Department and others to have
people that have done these kind of outreach things, what is needed and what's possible. And let's face it, a lot of the situations you're gonna run into or people get called about are gonna be unhoused people, might be people with multiple like substance abuse plus mental illness. Where are you gonna put them? What's the other side of that? I mean, where do they go? I mean, where do they go now? You know, so there's just so much to be coordinated here and thought about. And it's just, you know, I've brought this up before. I did this in the 80s. I did this out in the suburbs. You know, I was called out on a beeper to respond to mental, and I still can't find information about that program, but we were called out. We were all trained, you know, social workers or psychologists, and we assessed people and we either committed them to the state hospital or we settled the situation. The police would call us to do this, you know? So I don't know. I just feel like this is just the pressure on this to be politically, you know, correct or you know, to not rub any feathers wrong or something doesn't sit right about this at all.
Certainly my estimate is that this matter has to get decided in some form or another before the budget hearings on the police department happen in May. Right. You know, so they're going to have to think this through. Right.
So we have two proposals out there on the table. We have the city's proposal, and now we have the revamped kind of heart proposal. And your point, which is very interesting, is I hope people start talking about that. Well, is this going to be contracted out? Then what does that mean?
You know,
there may be no other bidders. But then are they qualified?
That can happen too. That can certainly happen. But the thing is just because you propose some ideas doesn't mean you should be given a contract.
Right.
You know, I have an issue with that. I have a very serious issue with that notion that, you know,
because
that
to me would be,
I mean, I remember there, you know, in much more minor ways of situations, it was one former city councilor who wanted to basically, you know, derive income, who he would come to, you know, basically harassing then one of the mayors back, I think, when Anthony Galluccio was mayor, basically saying, you need to contract with me here. And they basically said, we can't do things that way. You can't, just because you pressure people politically doesn't mean you should be rewarded contracts. So let 30B decide this, you know.
But what about the
if there's a good idea, let the good idea rise. But
and also what's the, right. So they say in contract instead of direct money, which is, what is that about, the amendment, the aid to, what is that called again?
Well, I mean, that's just a direct aid to individuals.
Right. But that's what's been brought up.
Right. It would have to be. We saw that actually one of the great things actually that city manager did during the pandemic, the height of the worst of the pandemic last year, was use of, because you can't just hand money out to people who mean
but
well.
They created a
they did two things that was great. One was done where they repurposed the mayor's relief fund, which originally started out as
for the fires, right?
That was really for a fire.
Berkshire
relief.
Fire, not
it may actually be predate to an even earlier one back from Ken Reeves' mayor.
And then
they revitalized it during the Berkshire Street fire, but then they repurposed it during the pandemic. And that was actually taking in money.
The
universities and you know, other major parties
they raised millions of dollars. Money. Yeah,
that's right. So they were able to actually aid businesses and individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all complain about whether it was fully equitable or not, but the thing is, you know, in a pinch, it was pretty good to have that going.
Oh,
and give a lot of credit to the mayor Siddiqui and to the city manager for pulling that off. But the other thing that was really brilliantly done was how there were a lot of restaurants when they couldn't have customers and they would all have gone belly up, were it not for the fact that some landlords were actually waiving rents, which was really helpful. Mm-hmm. But the other one is the city contracted with them to actually produce food that would actually be used to support people who were in hardship. Yeah. So that we basically, they were not giving, yes, it was taxpayer funded, but it was basically contracted services.
But wasn't it through that fund or did they contract?
No, that was just directly through tax revenue. Now, some of that is actually reimbursed from federal sources and whatever, but not all of it. but that was a creative way to actually help those.
But you just said contracted services. Did they have to bid for it though, or I don't.
You know, it depends on the
scale.
That's
a little different.
And I think that actually, I think there may have even been some
certain amount of money. Yeah.
I think the state legislature also sort of, you know, kind of made things a little easier. During this, you know, so to allow cities and towns to do things like this. So I mean, I give a lot of credit to the city manager for making all those good things happen. But this matter here, when you're talking about a substantial change to the way in which community policing happens, this is not the stuff you just sort of do based on political considerations or because a group of people say, please fund us.
Yeah.
You know, that's so wrongheaded. It's just almost comical, you know. Anyway, so that's one matter that they're going to have to settle. And I think they have to settle it in the first 6 months of this term, in my view. The other one, of course, as we've pointed out, is they have to come to some kind of consensus about a city manager.
Yeah.
And that's something that cannot be punted either. I mean, Louis DePasquale's term ends.
When does he officially end? June?
Oh, I believe it's in June.
That's really close.
And I suppose they could beg him to stay on, but I don't know that he's even interested in that at this point. You know? So that's a hard decision, you know, and I hope to God they don't just make some sort of symbolic choice that, you know, that sounds great and looks good in a press release. They really need somebody to manage a complicated large city. And
I think they definitely want somebody outside of city government.
There are some city councilors who feel that way, feel strongly that way. I would love for them to explain that a little bit, though. I understand if you're talking about you don't want to have just sort of the continuation of, you know, Bob Healy to Richie Rossi to Louis DePasquale, and you want to change, but that doesn't necessarily imply that you should just sort of have, you know, native Canterbridgians or people in city government completely off the table, you know. So anyway, I wish them well, and I'll be watching, you know, it's like a lot of other people. Another thing I maybe just mentioned, you know, I'm sure there'll be other things, big issues that will come up that we haven't yet anticipated, but, you know, we're still sort of in the process of rethinking some housing and zoning matters for the city. And it's unfortunate in my view that we're being somehow, you know, we're having to deal with ideology more so than good ideas here, you know. So, you know, whether you have the, you know, by the way, I've sort of come to the point of view that I hate anything that is identifiable as a movement, I dislike, you know, whether it's a Stop the Steal movement, a la the insurrection from a year ago, or whether it's the YIMBYs or the density now, everything here. There are good ideas to be had there, but please, can we decouple it from the movement stuff, you know? There, in my view, in Cambridge, we do have to rethink some of the way zoning works, but it's not just about, you know, let's, you know, bigger, taller, fatter, denser for its own sake. It's a matter of what's going to work for everybody here. And
need their cars. Some people still need cars.
And some people will still need transportation. Yeah. It's really true. And you know,
especially
when
the popular,
When the ideologues basically try and run the circus, we don't really get good solutions. And then there may very well be a back, a backside of this that we're not going to be too happy about. But I think it would be naive to suggest that we are not going to be hit with a lot of sort of big housing ideas in the next housing and zoning ideas. I believe the Community Development Department is sort of in response to some of this stuff that's gone on over the last couple of years on this issue, have proposed a few possibilities for rethinking single, one family, two family, multifamily zoning things.
There are things that can be done that are reasonable.
I think what they're floating again, and I may be misreading this terribly, but it seems like what they're doing is they're moving more toward a what they call form-based zoning approach, which is somewhat what Somerville did, as opposed to the strict FAR. You know, the allowable heights, densities, whatever. So they would still have, you know, limitations on heights, but densities would be less the issue, more so than building type. Huh. Right. Now, I haven't read this thing in
full. Yeah, that's think we, beyond me. I don't think I know.
Well, I think that. We all do need to do this here, but, you know, well, but
maybe you do. I don't know. But
my hope is that we break, put this into the hands of thoughtful, creative, collaborative, compromising kinds of people and remove the ideology out of it. You know, because if we just have to turn this into a war, you know, where my side's going to win, we're going to get a bad outcome, yeah. You know, and that we've had enough of that. And I really hope we can do better. You know, it's a little bit similar to the sort of the issue that happened with the bicycle safety ordinance where basically you sort of said, well, this is the way it's going to be. And that's
and
that.
We can't change anything. I know.
Yeah. And it's almost like it's reduced the it's my view about the what is the primary job of a city councilor in the city manager form of government, and the answer is to be the eyes and the ears and the thermometer of the city, to basically, you know, consult with the residents and kind of get a sense of the city. It's not to impose an ideology. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
But I think we've kind of lost sight of that in the last few years where
there's been like lines are drawn and
people again, capitalize.
I think it reflects on the national picture too a little bit.
We're doing a little bit of the national conversation, I suppose, you know, where it's
these are hard times.
Ideology versus your ideology.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, look at your own family, you said, and my family, the same thing. It's like ever since 2016, things have gotten worse for a lot of people.
Right. But, you know, we all got to get through this. Okay. And I hope that when the pandemic lifts, which hopefully happens, we start to feel that way in March or so, that maybe we can all kind of do things a little bit more cooperatively.
Okay, so we've got to close out soon. So we'll be back third Tuesday, but anything coming up before then that we should City council meeting next week.
Yeah, they're going to be starting weeks, regular business meetings start next week.
Okay.
So. Anyway, we'll see you again soon.
On
Cambridge Inside Out.
Inside Out.